Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M of NutraMedical.com and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. NutraMedical Report. We have Josh Bernstein here, and Josh, we're going to talk about what's going on with the nomination today. I think it's going to occur at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Western Time Zone, and there's four major candidates, I think, hanging out there that look like they're, any one of them would be awesome, but, you know, you have your ideas of who it might be. I've got my specific guesses. I think my top guess would be Kavanaugh's got the longest track record in the court. Next would be Coney Barrett, and then, of course, the other two candidates, Hardiman and Kefalage. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, as far as longest tenure and most, records, I guess, longest records and decisions and things like that, I think clearly you're looking at Kavanaugh as number one. I would say that Hardiman is number two, Kefalage is number three, and Coney Barrett is the newcomer to the group. But my final prediction is this. Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins are keeping a real true conservative possibly from being on the court. They are disgusting, vile, and deplorable. I have had my had my daggers out for them for a very, very long time. So with these two opposing Amy Coney Barrett, she's pretty much out. Raymond Kefalage, according to everything I have seen, is out as well because there was not once but twice in which he sided with illegal aliens.
I agree with you. I think that his
that's going to be a problem as well. Kavanaugh, I think, would be the more conservative of the two between Hardiman and Kavanaugh. The problem that I see there, though, is that Kavanaugh has lots of ties to the establishment and lots of ties to Bush, and that might be a problem for the president, as you know how he feels about the Bushes. So by process of elimination, really just kind of unfortunately, I guess you could say, it looks as though the default candidate likely tonight may be Hardiman. I will say this. Hardiman is very, very conservative on First Amendment issues and Second Amendment issues.
Right.
As far as everything else, he's more than likely going to be a social liberal. Now, when I saw some of the things on the different ideology tests for the Supreme Court, they said that Hardiman would be to the left of John Roberts and to the right of Anthony Kennedy. Not very good, in my opinion. Kavanaugh would be to the left of Clarence Thomas, but right at about the exact point of Neil Gorsuch and Samuel Alito. So, although I do believe more than likely it may be Hardiman, my hopes are that it is at least Kavanaugh. And here's one more thing I'll say. Hardiman has been approved by the Senate 95-0. Now, anyone else might see that as a good thing. I see that as a terrible red flag. I don't want my nominee for the Supreme Court approved 95-0. I want a drag-out, all-out war slugfest where he barely scrapes by. I want to see Democratic senators crying in anger with fear on their faces for our nominee. 95-0 certainly doesn't show that. So we'll see what happens in a few hours.
Yeah, I think you're usually a good caller of these things, aren't you?
Well, usually. I mean, this is a tough one because I'm hoping that Trump sticks to, you know, his core values, which he did with Gorsuch, and doesn't, you know, nominate Thomas Hardiman. I think you're looking at another replacement for Anthony Kennedy. We already have John G. Roberts, who is not an absolutely strong conservative, so we can't afford, to be quite honest, another, you know, Anthony Kennedy on the court. We just can't have it. So I'm hoping that Brett Kavanaugh would be the choice. He certainly seems more conservative than Thomas Hardiman, but again, you know, he's no William Pryor either.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've noticed, and looking at all the reports going back to Ronald Reagan, Reagan didn't farm it out to a conservative organization to kind of vet these people. And he made a mistake putting out both Stevens and who's the other candidate, the female candidate he put forward. They turned out to be both pretty liberal. I mean, look at Stevens. So,
Souter, I think.
Exactly, Souter. So what I see happening is that Trump is going to be a lot more careful. He's not going to try to do it all himself. I would put Coney Barrett a little higher on that list there. I would say Kavanaugh first and Hearn second. But we'll have to see what happens. I mean, either way, I think what's going to happen is in the next 2 years you're going to see a law go through, you know, or suit go through Supreme Court reading Roe versus Wade. I believe it won't be probably settled until after the 2020 election. It will probably strike down Roe versus Wade, which means the federal law is gone. It'll go back to the states. The states will then have to deal with it. There's a very remote chance that they'll actually outlaw abortion altogether, which is very remote, but it's very likely to go back. 20 to 25 states.
It won't happen, especially with Kavanaugh.
No, it won't. But my guess is that 20 to 25 states will outlaw abortion outright, completely, and the other states will be pretty liberal. In fact, the only thing they might do is they might reduce the allowance to a late-term abortion to the 20th week. So my guess is you're going to see some states will reduce it to the 20th week. Half the states will completely leave the idea of abortion and make it illegal. And you're going to see that. Now, I want to make a little kind of a statement here. People don't see the end from the beginning. You know, it's a statement right out of the Old and New Testaments. And because we're both Hebrews, I'm a Hebrew Christian. What I see happening is people don't understand. You can take a punch biopsy of a man's arm and make both ova and sperm now. A generation from now, at the rate that the younger people are thinking about cybernetic sex with the cyborgs and cyber brothels and so on, it doesn't at all seem impossible that in the future, if the state takes over more and more even of reproduction besides vaccines, that wild reproduction will be illegal, and then, in fact, the female sex will become irrelevant. And people think that's not possible. I'm sure they don't understand this, that women's rights depend on also their biology. And the fact if a specific sex becomes irrelevant, it may be very rare, except in the upper class, to see actual normal wild reproduction. In fact, people like this movie Gattaca that was out some years ago very well could happen, say, 20 or 30 or 40 years from now, which in the space of time is not that big. I mean, by 2050 and beyond, the human race may be primarily reproducing to make sure there's no birth defects and no genetic defects or things that will cause disease like diabetes and cancer, and may eliminate those at the embryo stage. And that means that wild reproduction will, in a sense, because of the environmental garbage that's being pushed by the left, remember, things swing back and forth. It's very likely in 2025 we may see a resurgence of a star in the Democratic Party like Obama, despite the fact how terrible it'll be to all of us. But, you know, the snake moves forward from the left and right side of the body of the snake, and they're both globalists. They just have a different agenda as how they're going to achieve it. And I'm very worried that down the road people don't understand that the abortion issue is an issue, is really an embryo issue. In fact, I'm going to get Nick Loeb on the show, who's fighting over these embryos that were fertilized with Vergara, his old girlfriend in Hollywood. And he's one of the producers, along with the niece of Martin Luther King, on this Roe versus Wade movie, which some of the crew walked out here just a few days ago in Louisiana, because, of course, they're leftists. But the issue is a lot more deep. And a lot of people, because, you know, I personally know about abortion. I am a surgeon, and I'm very familiar. Anybody who says it's not murder is an idiot, okay? It's murder. It's just legal murder. It's like if you had legalized expungement of anybody over, say, 70, or, you know, like the movement Soylent Green with Charlton Heston years ago. You know, you reach a certain age, you get turned into Soylent Green and become food for the rest of the population. People think this that euthanasia and so on can't happen. In socialist countries like Canada and Britain, it's regular. In some countries, for example, where they can do genetic tests beforehand, there's no Down syndrome children born like my daughter in Norway in 10 years. So, you know, even if you have, now we have the situation of people knowing everything about their genetics. I have a company here in San Diego that within a, they say 5 years, they'll be able to do less than $1,000, everybody's DNA right down to every single codon. And they say eventually, in 10 years, you'll be down to $100. So, you know, it's a brave new world out there, and people don't know which way it's going, but this decision is on that road to hell, let's put it that way. About this on the break, you've got a very important point to talk about Hardeman, how he worked with Donald Trump's sister, and I can't, she's had a bug in Trump's ear during the last time, because he was on the short list actually after Gorsuch. I don't want to see Hardeman's family are patently extremely liberal, just like Ryan's family are deep state, high level Masons, and so liberal it's disgusting, and that's why he's always caused cross purposes to Trump's agenda all the way through his time. Now he's supposedly leaving. God knows what he's going to do next. But obviously, these people play musical chairs in and out of politics. He's like the Paul Ryan of these candidates, isn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely is. His family, his wife, her last name starts with a Z. I can't remember the name of it, Zaparia or something. They are definite liberals, Democrats, leftists, activists even. And she ends up, they have kids. They have two or three kids together. And all of those are also involved in liberal politics, but the wife in particular. So you have a situation where you have a really suspect conservative judge, and I mean that as the fact that he's really, really not that conservative, going home and talking to his wife at the dinner table, who's an outright liberal leftist. Not good. Doesn't start good. And, you know, it's such a shame because here we are in a situation where we could put a real hardcore conservative on the court and we may settle because of Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, these two nitwits, saying that they won't vote for some of these other judges that would be better. But yet, when the Democrats have a chance to pick someone, that person could literally have horns growing out of their head, and it's totally fine. They're not too far to the left or anything like that. They're good to go. But yet, with us, we have to conform to the left, wanting and being, and that's just ridiculous. So hopefully Trump will do what he did last time and buck his sister and buck the system and buck the liberals in his own party and buck the Democrats and pick a more conservative judge. Out of the two, as I said, Kavanaugh would be the better choice.
What do you think of Kethledge? Because I just got a notice here from the this is from Christians for Life and Liberty, and they're trying to push Kethledge. Well, why would they do that?
Well, look, I actually like Kethledge. I think that if you really study his decisions, he seems much more like a Gorsuch type of judge. He truly does. Now, whatever the reason was that he decided to side with illegal aliens twice in the past, I won't say I'd give him a pass, but I'd want to know a little bit more about why he did it. Because I have said this on a couple other shows. Kethledge, to me, reminds me of an old-time originalist founding father type of judge. I think he would be the closest living person to put on the the courtship to be close to an originalist and a founding father. This is a guy who goes up to northern Michigan and takes all of his cell phones, takes all the electronics, the computers, everything, throws them away, keeps them away from him, and he goes up to this barn with a big, giant pine desk, a little fire stove, and a light, and he sits down and he writes his decisions without the interference of technology, politics, and everything else. I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, actually, what I've heard is he's got more Sylvester Stallone type of judgments. In other words, he doesn't have these flowery worded. It's like a kind of like a slap in the face kind of this is the way it is and this is why it's the way it is kind of wording.
Yeah.
We don't want
a rock star on the Supreme Court. We want someone whose name you forget the minute that they're nominated because they are following the Constitution, they're adhering to the principles and values of the Constitution, and they're not trying to be an activist judge. They're not trying to be that, quote, political rock star. You don't want that in a judge. So for those purposes, it's weird that McConnell was pushing him. I think conservatives immediately, started to look the other way, sideways, because, McConnell was pushing him. And McConnell...
Because McConnell was pushing Kasich. Because McConnell was pushing Kasich, right?
He was pushing Kasich. And he's also pushing Hardiman, by the way. So, you have to understand that anything that McConnell puts his name behind, you really want to do the opposite of.
Yeah, it's like if he goes left, you go right.
Exactly, yeah. McConnell is a disaster. I mean, I didn't nickname him the Kentucky Fried Chicken, for nothing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, when you look at the kind of benefits he gets for the kind of international deals, his legal positions and different things has actually benefited him financially, hasn't it?
No, without a doubt. I mean, he changed the rules to make it harder for outsiders to challenge incumbents. He made it much tougher and gave an advantage to incumbents and things like that. He's a political animal, in the sense of, like a jackrabbit, I guess. You know what I mean? He's not loyal to the party. He's not loyal to conservative values. And for that matter, it's all about, who's going to do good for Mitch. What's Mitch going to get out of this deal?
In other words, I got another saying for you. Mitch has got an itch. How's that?
Mitch has got an itch for lobbyist money and everything else.
Right.
Yep.
So that's going to be the caption below. Mitch's itch. Maybe Kasich is going to scratch his itch. How's that?
Yeah. The lobbyists come to scratch Mitch's itches. There you go. Yeah, no, Mitch McConnell is a disaster. I mean, him and then obviously Paul Ryan, he's no better. So you've got horrible leadership in the Republican Party, just the worst. I mean, if you were rolling the dice and trying to pick the worst Republicans, I'm not sure you would pick two worse Republicans than those two.
Yeah. Now, what are the other issues that you think are going to come up this summer? Besides the nomination, because right now the immigration thing is kind of over the top. And the Democrats are putting all their store in this idea of this Ocasio-Cortez, and she's becoming like the king and queen maker. And to be honest with you, I think it's a suicidal move. The head of the Democratic Party saying that his kids think that she's great and that this is the future of the party. This is the future of a dead party, isn't it?
I think if Republicans were smart, they would literally start running campaign ads that say, what is the Democratic Party's 2008 midterm election, platform as a question? And then it would basically be to abolish ICE. I would have every single leftist idiot that said to abolish ICE. I'd have little clips of them saying abolish ICE, five, six, seven times in a row. And then I would probably say that they want open borders. And I would have everybody talking about open borders. And then at the end, say, America, vote for Republicans if you don't want this to be, what your country looks like, that kind of thing. They ought to do an ad like that and run that in all of the swing states, because those people in those swing states, they don't want ICE abolished, and they certainly don't want open borders. So I think Republicans would be smart to jump on that bandwagon and ride that horse all the way to victory, because it's a winning strategy for sure.
Yeah, in fact, I think Trump is so funny. I think lately he's even got a stride. He makes the kind of snide remarks that maybe Mad Maxine and Ocasio-Cortez need to be on some kind of payroll for the Republican Party. I mean, is that bad?
Yeah.
Pretty funny. Actually, at times, he's really, he's in his stride now, and a year and a half into his presidency, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing a great job. I mean...
Yeah, amazing. One of the things about our society, it often looks at little sound bites and what I call geopolitical bites. It doesn't see the end of it from the beginning. For example, what Trump's done, and by stacking up the court, if he does the right person, it's going to change the tone of the court for a long time. Now, there's other countries in the world that are doing what I call pretty strange things, like you mentioned already about cyber brothels are putting the prostitutes out of work in places like the Holland. Okay. If this situation, for example, I'm going to ask him off camera to find out exactly why Nick Loeb and his girlfriend, Vergara, she didn't want to probably ruin her figure by actually having a pregnancy. So they were actually planning on having a proxy surrogate mother literally deliver their girls, which they've already named already, their embryos now, and they've already given them property rights. So if you have a property right, you're a human, okay, in federal and state and state court. So people need to start grasping that we're already in the brave new world. It's not something 20, 30, 40 years from now. It's actually coming out now. And what we have to understand is the same with the geopolitical stuff. If we don't make the sanctity of life from the time that an embryo starts, like in its first hours after the egg and sperm are there, there's nothing to stop somebody like me. Let's say I go over the edge and say, you know what, to hell with this. I'm going to help them build technology so they can horizontally insert DNA from different phyla species and generate and create super soldiers or the super elite, which, by the way, they want to create the X-Men. It's them. The globalists want to upgrade their own genetics to become literally supermen and women, and they want to create a brave new world, which is a hierarchy of genetic and cybernetic and financial caste system, which is coming. People don't see it yet, do they? They don't see the financial and genetic caste system coming.
Right. All you have to do is you have to look at China, because China is not hearsay. It's not, you know, conspiracy. They actually have a social credit scoring system in which they actually evaluate every single person, all 1.2 billion subjects, not people, subjects of the Chinese communist government. And they basically rate them on their affinity to the Chinese government, to their loyalty factors of the Chinese government. You know, do you believe in, you know, our philosophy of government, you know? And then from that, they are based on who their friends are, where they go to school, what kind of car they drive, where they work, where their kids go to school. All of these things are then calculated into a social credit score. So for anyone to think, and by the way, WhatsApp, which is Mark Zuckerberg's group, are behind the analytics and the logistics of creating the program for the Chinese communist government. People need to know that as well. But here's the thing. As you see this going on in China, what's to say, God forbid, after, the second term of President Trump, you know, God willing, there's not a leftist, and I mean a hardcore leftist like Ocasio or even, you know, someone like the one in California, the senator, can't think of her name right off the hand, but, you know, just someone like that, okay? And they decide, you know what, it worked really well in China. Let's do it here in the United States. What's to say that that couldn't happen? Yes, there would be probably a civil war, and people would be very upset. But to say that it couldn't happen, or at least couldn't be suggested, you're not paying attention. I mean, did you ever think back in, you know, the 70s and 80s that you'd be able to take your bank card and stick it in a machine and get money? And now all of a sudden, you take that card and you don't swipe it anymore. You do what? You stick it in the machine and it pays for whatever it is. Well, what's the logical next step in philosophy and in science? It's going to be to put the chip on the person. Now, at first, they're going to say, well, you know what? It's not mandatory.
However, if you want to buy a car and start your car, if you want to lock your house doors, if you want to be able to get into buildings, if you want to buy groceries, well, you probably want to get that chip, if you know what I mean, wink, wink. Yeah, no, it's not mandatory. However, if you want to live like the rest of us, and keep up with the Joneses and become a subject of your government, then you need to get checked.
Yeah, but
too.
Listen.
That's where it's going.
Are you following? I want you to check into this because you're really good at getting into details. You're excellent at that. You're one of the best in the world. 2020, we have the national ID, which passed during George Bush, who, by the way, a soccer player, a major soccer player, put on the soccer field and birded in the soccer field. Bush did 9/11. Now, we know that Bush's brother was a security officer, and 9/11 was an inside job. Anybody wants to dispute that, I can flood them with tons of ugly facts. But the fact is that that ID program is coming in 2 years, even before the fall election that's coming in 2020. And that ID, it means they want to have proof of citizenship. They want everything. I mean, you actually read it. I put up a link the other day for some of the states already in advance getting ready for it, like Ohio. And what you need to understand is this does involve vaccinations that are forced. It does involve chipping or biometrics, so they can collect a whole bunch of biometric data. Your biometric terahertz scan of your bones, for example, can identify you while you're in a car through the side of the car at 500 meters from a pole on the side of the freeway where you're traveling at 70 miles an hour. Iris scans, digital fingerprints, blood DNA scans. I went to what's called Oak Ridge National Labs building where they actually were making the DNA biochip with Affymetrix out of Chicago. And in fact, this is 1999. That's a long time ago. That's, you know, 19 years ago. And they had it already at that time, 42 cents to actually figure out who you were from any other person genetically on the planet. And the first six digits of your 3-6-digit ID was an HLA haplotype for transplanting your organs, just like in China. Everybody in China has been tissue typed, so they know if they needed a bunch of organs, man, you're going to be grabbed if you've got a low score on the social media stuff. And people don't realize they're going to start treating us like lab animals, aren't they?
They absolutely are. And anyone that thinks that what we're talking about is so far-fetched and these guys are right-wing, wacko, conspiracy theorists, you know, idiots, you're not paying attention. And all you have to do is don't take our word for it. Just do some research on your own and just know from everyday life, what do you now do when you go to the store? You take your card. You don't swipe it anymore. You have to do what? You have to slide it into the machine. That's not a conspiracy. That's not hearsay. That's not, you know, an opinion. That's a fact. That's what all of these places at point of sale, when you purchase something, you have to slide the thing in. If you go out to a restaurant, you slide the thing in. If you go to the gap, you slide the thing in.
Well, look at
and there's a chip on it.
Exactly. Look at Facebook and Twitter, how they're just arms of the deep state. Look at Amazon. They got a store up in Seattle where they don't even have checkout people. They actually have the cameras see what product you take off the shelf. You don't even need to go through a checkout scanner. You just walk out the door and it charges your card. And if you put it back on the shelf, they take it off your list. I mean, this is where we're entering the Matrix, okay? Forget it, people. You want to spit at us. You want to say, oh, you're nuts. You're a conspiracy theorist. A conspiracy theory means there will be enough evidence in a court of law you can get an indictment, okay?
Remember,
the indictment is coming.
To the audience that's listening, the crazier someone sounds talking about these far-out, whacked-out, crazy types of things, the smarter they are, number one, and number two, the more informed that they are.
Right.
And the fact that we have done our research and we are visionaries. We can see it happening before many others can see it happening. And that's why we do what we do. Because we are the Paul Revere's of our generations. We are the ones that are warning people about these different things. We are the truth seekers and the truth tellers. And we don't care what party that truth lies within or doesn't lie within. We bring out the truth each and every
It just happens to lay on mostly on the side of the left, but there's elements on the right. Look at the Bush family. Look at people going right back to Ronald Reagan. I mean, people have to understand there's bad things that resulted from their administration, some of them by mistake. The two appointees that Reagan did turned out to be leftists. What we have to understand is that where we're going, people don't see the end from the beginning. The end is this. In 10 or 20 or 30 years, say 33 and a half years in 2050, and the globalists have got a policy called Vision 2050. You can't imagine the night. It's like what was that movie that came out many years ago? It was about a movie about the future, about cyborgs and drones and everything like that. The war of, say, 5 or 10 years from now. No, I'm talking about the one, what's it called? Harrison Ford.
Oh, Blade Runner.
Blade Runner. Blade Runner's coming, people, to Channel
U. Remake.
A hell of a lot sooner than you can think. Yeah, well, the first one was really good. To me, Blade Runner is not 20 or 30 years. It's 10 years away. 10.
Or sooner.
And so, you know, what I want people to understand is we're, in a sense, geojournalist philosophers. And again, the philosophers are always ahead of the curve in terms of what's going to happen. A lot of people can see the end from the beginning. What Trump is going to do is not going to last, is going to last long beyond his 2024 second term, because I believe he'll get in. They're even going to try to rerun Hillary and, God knows, Biden. I mean, Biden
is not going to run Hillary. I don't care what the Drudge Report says. I don't care what she says.
But they're holding her own.
On commercials. The Democrat Party will forbid her from running. Believe me when I tell you that.
I agree with you. I think that they're holding her out now because they don't have a star. If they had somebody like, let's say, The Rock, who's got, you know, a personality, and if you actually was stupid enough to do it, or even Oprah, which she's already said she doesn't want to do it, it would be, in a sense, suicide for her life. She's got a life right now. Why would she want to do that? I mean,
right?
It's a hard job.
The only place Hillary's going to run to is the morgue, okay? Because she's got more health problems than a 98-year-old fragile man in an infirmary center.
Well, I went over medical things based on peripheral evaluation. And what I have is that she's in the final stages of Parkinson's disease.
She has subcortical vascular dementia, for sure.
Right. And she's also, they're even using in places doubles, which we already, even at her own meetings, they brought out the doubles and said, this is my double, and so on. I mean, so it's not hidden that she actually is using doubles sometimes, because she's fragile.
Well, again, I'm not going to go to the conspiracy of whether or not there's been doubles, but I will say that I know for a fact, based on her own doctor's notes, that she is suffering from subcortical vascular dementia with early onset of Parkinson's. The EpiPen that was used during the election, she doesn't have the stamina. There's no way she could do another campaign. She couldn't even run for city council and stand up and debate anybody. I mean, it's an absolute joke.
I don't know what
they're doing, what they're spending money on, but look, liberals love to waste money. Let them keep doing it.
Yeah, well, what I want to see happen here is also we wake up. We want to need a dialogue with the left. I mean, people say they want to have violence. No, you don't need violence. Okay, here's what an America needs. We need to have a rational immigration system, which in a sense is sort of moratorium, but only bring in people we need, maybe on work visas, let's say to build high-speed rail. We need to have people that the specific industries have to make a request on, this I call an immigration day. So it's a specific day where industry and states have to put in a request for a specific place in a specific position, either for a work visa or immigration. And the immigration process needs to vet people, and you can't overstay your visa. ICE needs to grab those people to overstay their visas, because apparently 60 to 70% of the people that overstay are not coming across the wall from Mexico. They just overstay their visas. They fly in here as students or whatever, and they just stay. Now, we also need to stop chain migration and visa and the lottery and all this other foolishness. And we also need to start cleaning out the drug cartels that are tied to our deep state and making these places more livable. We don't need to make them heaven. We just need to make them more livable, because if people can subsistently live and grow their own food and live in it with their relatives nearby in El Salvador and in Honduras, they don't want to move here. Why would you want to move to a place where you're going to be ghettoized? Because you don't speak the language, you may not have the skill sets, and you're going to get to do a subsistence job. Now, I do think we have a need for what I call Bracero 2 program, but that can be done rationally, and people should be either tracked with an anklet or brought to a work facility where they can't get off the camp. In other words, you don't get off the ranch and go to L.A. with your kid that can become a gang member. And We also have to realize that a lot of these gangs, by the way, have joined our military. I saw an interesting article that's pretty well vetted that a lot of our military now have got, every division have got gangs in them from, you know, the real bad gangs in America. I mean, that's not good that gang members are now joining our military.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that, you know, we ought to keep those people out of the country and certainly out of the military. I don't agree with this whole thing about, you know, an illegal immigrant can serve in the military and after a certain amount of time because they fought for us that all of a sudden they should gain.
I think that's a weird policy. Don't you find that strange? You should prove you're a good
person.
I think
it's a terrible idea because there's no proof, I guess you could say.
Well, I know.
You know, basically being for America and not for anything else.
Well, I know of specific cases, and I won't give names, but up in L.A. where these people went through one or two or more terms in the military, and they're working with the drug cartels in Los Angeles. So this is not a funny thing. This is meaning we're literally taking and training these people up so they have skill sets when we work with the cartels, and they're criminals. Okay? So they become, people that are bringing in people. Like, this is the other thing, is they're not just drugs being brought into the country. And by the way, a lot of this fentanyl that's coming in from the Mexican border is made in China. So the Chinese are trying to poison us to death. You know, poisoning putting fentanyl into all kinds of other dope. People don't realize that the Chinese fentanyl is showing up in other forms of dope, whether it's marijuana or cocaine or whatever, because the Chinese want to destroy our culture. They're doing everything they can to steal our intellectual property and destroy our culture. And I don't agree with everything that Marco Rubio says because he's a bit of a nut and a globalist. But the fact is the Chinese want to take over. And I honestly think that the Indians are going to overtake them in the next 5 to 10 years because of their culture. They don't have the same globalist policies, and they speak English. And they don't have a totalitarian regime in India. It's going to be a different, totally different deal, isn't it?
Well, look, I think that they've got their own problems, obviously with Pakistan and India, being at each other's throats for years.
Well, apparently that's starting to be settled, by the way. I heard that recently we had Charlie Schlanger on talking about some recent meetings where Pakistan and India are starting to kind of work things out. So my feeling is if Pakistan and India can work things out, then China is toast.
Well, understand that China has a deficit of $22 or $23 trillion.
Yeah.
It's actually even a little bit more than our deficit. The difference is that we're doing something about ours as far as building our economy out, and putting people back to work and things like that. But we have to, we have to understand that $10.5 trillion was spent in 8 years under Barack Obama. And the other $10 trillion or so that we were in debt took from George Washington to George W. Bush to spend.
Right.
So this last 8 years was absolutely horrific for our economic, future outcome and everything else. We've got to take drastic measures. I would love to see a corporate gains and capital gains tax cut to zero moratorium for at least 2 or 3 years straight. And that would entice a lot of offshore money to come roaring back into the U.S. economy, which would cut that deficit from $20 trillion down to 16 or 17 within 90 days. Then
right.
We would be on a softer and better footing, a more rigid footing is what I meant to say,
for
our economy moving forward.
Yeah, I think also the other part is that half of that debt that's owed is owed to the Federal Reserve System. And a good chunk of that started off with the illegal war in Iraq under George Bush and George Bush Sr. And then it was doubled by this moron Obamacare. Obama set up Obamacare and all the other stupid regulations. So the debt was probably $2 or $3 trillion. Got ballooned to $8 or $9 trillion. Before you know, it was $10 trillion. And then under Obama, it doubled it to 20. So, dude, this is very solvable. I mean, the key is to grow the economy, change the regulations. The other thing that Trump even mentioned 2 years ago is the idea of us getting away from the Federal Reserve and stop paying them to put pixie dust in our money between the printing office and the Federal Reserve. So what we have is that we need a Hamiltonian credit system we've talked about before to get smaller business ideas and so on and technology into the marketplace. That doesn't exist in China, and it doesn't exist in Europe. They don't have a system to take some guy that's a genius in some cool-and-dive product or computing or whatever to take it all the way up to where it's going to explode and become a major new technology. That's the problem. We need a Hamiltonian credit system. For example, I've got technology that I'm doing and I'm getting patents on. If that could be amplified, say, 100 or 1,000 times, it would become a major industry in America. You know, healthcare, for example, is archaic the way it's run. And ours, believe it or not, is still better than elsewhere because it's the free market system. If you go, as they say, to China and just go away from the main roads, they're still back 2 centuries in China. And their system doesn't reward innovation. Even if they could innovate, they're terrified they're going to end up in tissue-typed in a Laodai prison camp. So, and the same thing doesn't happen in Europe. The Europeans want to have top-down bureaucracy in Brussels or in Strasbourg running everything. In America, we have the elements that if we reinvigorate America to reinvent ourselves, we'll be the premier technology inventor of the whole 21st century, and from power to transport to everything. And we just need to tame these other characters. Like, free trade means level trade. How's that? You should say, how about level trade is free trade?
Exactly.
No trade.
Look what's going on with Brexit. They're going back against Brexit now, if you see the Drudge Report.
Well, I saw that and I said, you know, this is the mask is off of Theresa May. She's never been for Brexit. And now she's coming openly out and saying, yeah, no, we're not going to do it. So there, Theresa's May Day. Boris jumps Brexit on Brexit.
May Day.
Yeah, well, her political fortunes are finished as far as I'm concerned. The public won't put up with it.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.